everybody. Welcome to Babs Buzz. I am really excited. This month's been really short, so we're going to get right to it because we've lost a few days on the calendar, as you know. A couple of things I got to do straight away. Don't forget to watch the Oscars, obviously. Support the craft that we love so dearly. I want to send props out to Donna and Michael. This is really important that you guys know this. This is a lot of work. This is a labor of love. These guys are very good to me. You guys are really helping me, meeting the fan base of Simply Scripts, the writers that click in, the people like Michael, who's just an amazing producer and a lot of fun to chat with anyway, as you all know. It makes my job so much easier because I get to relax with you guys, and I consider you guys top-of-the-line professionals. You've all behaved that way. You've been really, really great to me. I just got off the phone with a writer client of mine. There was a misunderstanding in a communication, and he hit the roof. And once again, Richard being Richard, he's always right. I was wrong. And I've developed the finest taste for crow you can imaginable. So if anybody wants crow recipes, call me because I can flavor it up. Anyway, so props out to Richard for his wonderful luck in finding an agent like me who he can really, really take down because he's so right all the time. And honestly, one of the things about being an agent that you guys need to know, I've said this before and I'll say it again, bears repeating. Some battles you have to be willing to fight. Some battles you have to be willing to walk away. But when someone is obviously right, you tell them. You give them props. You say, hey, Richard, you're right. You know, one of the things I noticed about this week was a very, very odd week for me because I usually do not pitch talent. I don't pitch managers, you know, because I'm not allowed to produce. I'm only allowed to write the deal because we're WGA and there's a very high bar. And it's sort of an arm's length protocol thing, which is very cool and helps everyone. But what I noticed was in the last, I'll say 2 weeks, really, I noticed that managers, either that or I'm getting lucky, they're more receptive to my pitching them. And I sent out two scripts to two huge people. One of them, Richard Broadhurst, knew very well. He knows him, not very well, but he knows him. Ron Perlman, who's now attached for one of our pictures. Very exciting. Sent out a shout out to Ron. Thank you so much. Script is terrific. We know it. We just have to find a producer that wants to jump in and make it happen. And we may have a couple actually on board, but we're just poking around. The other thing that's kind of cool about pitching talent is you never know what they're looking for. You can't assume. You know, we tend to think of characters and stereotypes, don't we? Well, don't do that, because I am really happy to tell you that I got a script from a guy named James Watts. James Watts is a Nichols Fellowship finalist. Guy's got chops up the yin-yang. Now, he's not my client yet, but we're kind of talking and we're doing the dance. You know, it's very romantic and in a very Christian sort of way, very colloquial. But James is a gem. Guy gets it, gets craft, has voice, the whole nine. He sent me a script that I actually pitched to Jamie Foxx's manager, who's reading it. Now, that's a shocker for someone like me because, you know, I'll pitch anybody. I'm fearless. You guys know that about me. But in the end, it really comes down to luck. It just really does. But it was a very exciting week because I was able to get in front of talent, and that doesn't always happen. So if you remember from last – I bring that up. I said all that to say this. If you remember last month's show, I said – things are loosening up. And I think this is a royal indication of it. Not that I'm overly skilled or talented or any of that stuff. I'm not the latest and greatest. But what I am is I'm working the phones. So let's talk about what's going on. What happened on the page that James got me so excited about? Well, it's very simple. Narrative tug. What is narrative tug? Well, narrative tug is that which seduces you on the page that you find so difficult to stop reading that you actually will snap at your husband, snap at the dog, yell at the mailman, whatever, if you're interrupted. That's narrative tug. And this is going to dovetail into the show about coverage for just a moment, so bear with me. It'll all make sense. You know, Brian and I are of the – Brian from Screenplay Readers, love the guy. We are of the same mind. More white on the page, the better. Absolutely lean, mean, fight machine, got to have it. However, sometimes – in the case of Black Swan, narrative tug was so prevalent that narrative tug simply trumps white on the page. There was so much going on. There was so much happening. There was so much juice. I could literally feel the suppression of what was going on the page. In many ways, this is going to sound a little weird. In many ways, it reminded me of Carrie and All About Eve. You guys will probably remember both of those pictures. If not, you'll for sure remember Carrie, if this is a slightly younger audience I'm speaking to. I'm not exactly sure of the Simply Script demographic. But All About Eve had that kind of thing to it, that sort of understudy kind of mishigas going on. The same thing happened with Carrie in a way, that she was so oppressed by her mother that when she finally got a little freedom, meaning Carrie, she short-circuited. Well, duh. The same thing happened in Natalie Portman's character. She short-circuits when she finally gets a little bit of freedom. It's amazing what the cracked toenail in the shoe in the visual on the page did for me. I have not seen this picture yet, and I can tell you I've seen this picture. So props and hoorah goes out to that writer. And for the life of me, I can't remember his name. I'm sure that, however, Michael, being the great producer he is, he will rock that up on the page for you. So remember, the coverage does a ton of heavy lifting for you. That's why they encourage you to do white on the page. But sometimes even coverage will tell you, like in Ira Finkelstein's Christmas Vacation, there was a lot of black on the page, but there was so much narrative tug, you didn't even notice it. You're being slowly but surely, sometimes fast, pulled through the script because you are compelled to read it. Very interesting. Which brings me to an expression you may hear from time to time, fast read. A fast read is open your mind. Open your mind gets my shout out for the month. OMG, the script is terrific. I have a couple of complaints about it. They are minor. Open Your Mind was submitted on the Simply Scripts website, which is a great website. I hope you guys are checking all of the wonderful little tchotchkes on there. It's very cool. The one sheet's gorgeous. Hello. It's absolutely stunning. And the script is terrific. Just, you have to read it. Guys, you have to read it. You have to read it. It's so good. A fast read equals open your mind. You'll read it so fast. It's such a great clip. You'll so enjoy it. You'll see it on the page. You'll completely be whisked away. You will understand why some writers, their voices are more obvious than others, and that speaks to style on the page. But style, you have to be careful, because really style speaks to novel writing. So you got to watch that tightrope. It's very difficult. That's where a good editor comes in handy, and coverage really helps. So I agree with Brian completely. The more white on the page, the better. For sure, for sure, for sure. However, there are some movies that we read, like Black Swan, where narrative tug always trumps white on the page. When beauty is there, you just can't deny it. A fast read is something that I am very in love with because of the nature of the day. There's only 24 hours in the day, right? You guys know that. You got to cram so much in. You got to do the family. You got to do the friends. You got to do the this. You got to do the that. There's so much going on in your life that you think, oh my God, when am I going to have time to write? When am I going to have time to read? Same thing happens with me. It's the same thing. That's why this is going to sound insulting. Please don't take it this way. If we only read 10 pages, it's because we know going in. Sometimes we'll only read 5. We know going in. We read so many pictures, we can tell very quickly who's got voice and who doesn't. Now, in the absence of an amazing hook, even if my client sends me a script, I'm going to set it down if it's not rocking. I'm not going to read it. And I'll tell my clients, it's very hard to say to my clients, pass. Very difficult. You guys think agents don't twist over this stuff? I can tell you it's gut-wrenching. I have a very dear writer client who really has chops, but there's some misfiring going on, and it's very hard to turn to them and go, pass. I used to be able to sit down and go over coverage, tell them to send it to Brian, send it to Jason, send it to Richard Broadhurst. These guys are skilled at doing coverage. Why? They've been doing it 100 years. They know exactly what they're doing. They're gifted. They're skilled. They know. Okay. Saying no to a client is tough. I've had to do it more frequently than usual. So if you pitch me and you don't hear from me, it may not be that the writing is not there. It just may not be what a particular buyer that I'm on the hunt for. Like this last half of February, I was on the hunt specifically for Westerns. And I got some great pitches, but none of them worked. Didn't mean the writing was bad. I didn't have time to answer you. I'm not going to say to you, you have to fix page 3. I don't have time for that. So if you don't hear from me, it may be a pass only because for this particular buyer may not work. Which brings me to the missing ingredient, also known as fastscreenplay.com. As usual, Debbie Scott, she's a gem. She's always teaching me things. She's so wonderful. She's like, Barbara, you got to check this out. Missing ingredient. Amazing, amazing, amazing. You guys need to check this out. It's very important. It's huge. It's really important for one main reason. Most scripts stink, not just because the writing is bad. That can be fixed. Most scripts do not fire because the writer fails to deliver the promise of the premise. I'm going to repeat that. First, I'm going to say this. Wedding Crashers delivered the promise of the premise. Jaws delivered the promise of the premise. Aliens, ditto. Likewise. If you're going to promise that this little extraterrestrial is going to rock up and change one little boy's world and his family, and oh, by the way, the government's involved, you better deliver on that promise. You can have a misspelling here and there. Your table read should be able to help you iron out those things. Please don't be lazy. Don't skip steps. Remember, we've talked about this. You guys know, you're writers. You get it. You have to be able to deliver the promise of the premise. What am I talking about? FastScreenplay.com is Jeff Bellows. I hope I'm saying his name right. I'm so bad. You guys know this. Michael will, if you're so kind, Michael, set up the link for that. He has a class. It's not cheap. Guy's got chops, though. But he's got books you can buy. Buy the books. You're going to love it. It's going to give you a nice, fresh perspective about everything we're all involved in. Which speaks to the first half of February, which if January was 0 to 100 in terms of miles per hour, February 1st to February 15th was the slowest, worst 2 weeks so far of this year and probably in the last 12. So I came up with a word. You ready? I made up a word. You may remember the guy who used to write sniglets. He made up words. Very clever, very smart, very hard to do. I came up with a word. And Michael will probably post the definition, I hope. And I even did the phonetic spelling for him. On the vergitis. I know it sounds kind of dirty, doesn't it? On the vergitis is a noun. The condition which can occur when writers live and die by the sale of a particular script. This includes agents as well. The condition has been known to create at least anxiety and in some cases, extreme inertia, paranoia, envy, jealousy, and inactivity. Suggested treatments are socializing, networking, attending events and classes, helping others, writing more, conducting or participating in table reads, acting classes, directing class audits, and most importantly, living a balanced life. And this is just to name a few. I actually suffered from on the vergitis for the first 2 weeks of February. My phone's ringing off the hook in January and all of a sudden, boom. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. It's like the person who races to get to a red light. You know, you've seen them. You're probably one of them. I'm not a big runner. I don't run to the red light. I laugh at people who do. I mean, unless I got to pee and I'm in the car, you know. But honestly, I can't understand that. Why are you hurrying up to a red light? It just doesn't even make sense. So on the vergitis is something that I want you guys to consider when you live and die by the sale. I have a client who's completely depressed. She's miserable. It's not who you think it is. I have a couple of female clients. And she's had it. She's absolutely had it. And I said to her, as politely as I can, live your life. Don't put so much. All of a sudden, you may see something that you didn't notice before. And that will actually probably even help your writing. You'd be surprised some of the things that pop into your reality when you least expect it. It's why you hear guys talk about meeting girls in the grocery store. You know, they think they're being funny. I'm sorry, but that's a hook right there. I would love somebody to send me a 5-page short on that just as a gift so I could give it to my husband. See, you could actually meet people in the supermarket. My husband's always worried. Oh my God, what if something happens to you? I'm like, honey, just go to the frozen food section. You'll be fine. Okay. I have to love the hook of a picture to keep going. That's just my thing. I really have to. If I'm going to love the hook, I'm probably going to read you. This happened with me on Open Your Mind. It really showed me that there are writers out there who get the idea of visuals fast, crisp, and intelligently written on the page. Now, I did mention to you earlier that I did have a problem with the script. I have actually two, one's minor, one's major. But both underscore, bold, italicized, both are easy to fix. If you notice, I was talking about Richard earlier, and we had this argument about, he was right, by the way. I went into this meeting with a producer, and I told him, you know, this might need a rewrite, you know, might need this. And Richard goes, don't do that! You know, don't do that! Especially don't do it if you don't check with me first, because number one, I may not want to do it. And number two, hello, the guy's not going to look at the script the same way. Well, he was right. I was wrong. Let me tell you why that happens sometimes with agents and producers. We see things that you may not notice because you're so stuck in the, you're actually literally stuck in a time frame that you may forget that technology changes and slang changes. So that's what I was referring to with Richard, and he got it. And, you know, we're all friends now, and it's really good. You got to keep an eye on these things in your scripts, guys. If we used to get caught doing this all the time in novel writers, and editors used to say to us, you can't jump errors like this. You can't say groovy in 1886, right? So you got to watch for stuff like that. One of the things I notice about Open Your Mind is it is just so fresh and crisp. It was absent a lot of profanity. It was a little sexy, but the sex worked. At least for me, it did. I found it to be smartly placed. I really did. I thought it was intelligent. I thought the scenes were very forthright. And you know what I liked about it? You didn't need stars to make it happen. You didn't need stars to make it sizzle. And you could see easily that if the right characters were cast in it and the right people were involved in putting it together, it's absolutely a hit. No question. No question in my mind. Absolutely. Go viral. No question. Okay. What happens when a lot of people ask me this, and I haven't been able to answer this because I really haven't had a good answer, and I think I do now. What happens when agents meet with their clients? I'll tell you what I do. I don't meet with my clients very often because most of them are spread around the country. I have a couple local. Richard's one, Jason's another. Most of the time, however, I can do what I have to do either via Skype, via email, via phone. What happens when an agent meets with a client, at least in my case, is we plot the business and creative trajectory. Like Richard and I were talking today about getting with a local director and investor to do a very specific film of Richard's. It's a script I love called Castle. It's really well written. One of my favorite things about it is whoever plays the female lead, if the director casts someone with a very flinty voice, in my mind's eye, I see Sharon Stone, but she would probably be too old for this piece by now. You could think of Sean Young, that kind of voice, a very flinty voice. It would really enhance the sort of brass clanging bell of the other character, who's the bad guy, the antagonist. I was talking to Jason today. I had a meeting with him, and we were going over some of the things that we're going to do next quarter. So what I do with my clients is we talk about the next couple of months, but we also plan sort of far out there. When we're sitting together and we're talking, Jason had just done a very intensive and exhausting rewrite. It was a period piece. This is not easy to do. This takes dedication. This takes a lot of this takes ability. This takes terrific skill, which he has. It was a Herculean effort on steroids. He gets my props for doing it. I'm going to read it. I haven't read it yet. It's a big picture. But he did something really cool and really clever that I wanted to share with you. He said, you know what I did? I put on Facebook, what do you think of 131 pages as a running time? And he did this to industry professionals, and some of the reactions were very interesting. So one of them said, well, you know, it's all I got. It has to be 110 pages because X. And Jason got some very good data from this. And what he told me in our meeting was this. He said, you know, it's interesting because if I base my decision on the reactions I just got, it gets rid of 10 of my top favorite pictures of all time. It just does. So it's very interesting how when you talk to people who actually do this stuff, they're in the cutting room and they're the ones, you know, oh, I got to do the music. And oh, I got 4 bars extra over here. And this is a mess over here. And this is running long. What am I going to do about this? It's interesting to ask the people who are in those kinds of trenches, not the trenches that the writers and the agents are in, that actually assemble the piece, what they think about this. It was very cool the way he was willing to go outside of his comfort zone. Because writers, you know, they're sensitive folks. You know, Richard's sensitive, Jason's sensitive, Craig Sabin's sensitive. They're all sensitive folks. I'm a writer. I'm a novelist. We're sensitive. I remember, oh, gosh, my mother-in-law is a great editor. God love her. But she used to hand me a stack of paper with like, and she'd edit in red, you know, the old days where they edited in red. And she'd hand me this paper that looked like it was hemorrhaging. And then she'd circle one sentence and say, do more of this. Did it help me? Heck yeah. Did it hurt me? Ouch. Hello. Need you ask? I went through a bottle of wine that day. So one of the things I'm telling you is I get it. It's an owie. But don't let it stop you. Please don't. It's a momentary owie. You'll survive. I mean it. You really will. And you know, we had this producer. She's really nice. She put one of my writers through the paces for a lifetime picture. And he got nothing out of it. He wasted his time. But he said to me, no, Barbara, I didn't waste my time. I actually enjoyed the process. I'm kind of pissed that I was led down, the primrose lane like this. But, you know, it's all in a day's work for me. You got to be I have said this to you. This sounds like a complete schizophrenic statement, but it really is true. Don't rewrite for free if you can help it, okay? Even when an agent asks you to do it. You can buck the agent, but you better be able to make your case, and you better be able to make it intelligently. All I know about rewrites is this. I have a client. His name is Greg. You've heard me talk about him. He went through rewrite hell on a picture, and I had a director call me on Friday and say, listen, I think I want to go with this, but I'm going to need 6 months for him to go through the rewrites. And I said, no, I love you dearly. You are a sweet man. Thank you for noticing my client's work. I'm fiduciary. I'll present the offer to my client, but I'm going to tell you what he's going to say. He's going to say no, and here's why. He's already been down this road, and to me and to him, the picture is ready enough to get into your hands, then it's ready enough for you to throw down some cash and get it going. Yeah, we'll take a dollar option. Sure. Absolutely. Rewrites? No way. Not going to happen. Not for free. Not with this writer. Now, there are some writers. You guys know this. There's levels of your professional ladder. There's levels of professional success. If you are at the bottom, then you're inclined to be a little more flexible with this, and that's good, and you should be. But as your chops improve and as your reputation improves, I'm here to tell you as an agent, and if you're not sure, you can send me an email. I may not give you the best advice, but I will give you my advice. And as I think my advice is pretty good. I mean, I've been pretty spot on most of the time. I got a pretty good track record. I sell stuff, which, by the way, while I'm thinking of it, go check out the Christmas mail trailer over at YouTube. You'll see a girl and a guy and a dog. They're leaning kind of on a mailbox. It's really cute. That's my client Lorene Lacey's picture. We are struggling for distribution. It may happen. I think Mark Vista's got something lined up for the picture. It's really, really cool. I'm excited. Debbie Scott did the uncredited polish on that to get it market ready. Lorene Lacey wrote it. It's an adorable picture. I can't remember his name. I apologize, Steve, if you're listening. He did some rewrites on it. Cast is terrific. They did a great job. The music's adorable. The production values are cute. So do check it out, and two thumbs up to those writers who were able to pull that together. Don't be afraid to do uncredited work either. I mean, obviously, if you can get a credit, take it. And if it's a bad picture, don't worry about it. Take the credit anyway. Always put your name on something and throw it up on IMDb Pro. Come on. People are going to be looking for you. I have a friend in New York. I've known him for 100 years. He's one of the finest Broadway sound technicians out there. The guy just knows sound. His name is Carl Casella. He's also a doll. He's got a great radio voice. He's got a great voiceover voice. I said to him, why don't you update your resume on IMDb Pro? You got to stay on top of your game, kids. I have a client. He's not updating. Craig doesn't update his stuff on IMDb Pro. So I turn into a nag. So that's what happens with meetings with clients and agents. I kind of, you know, nag him a little bit. I go, yeah, you got to update your resume. Are you doing voiceovers? Did you call this guy? Are you talking to that guy? Are you working the phones? Are you working your sphere of influence? Who do you know who? Who do you know who? You hungry? You want a gig? You want to write? You want to learn? Who do you know who? Work that Rolodex. And do your best, by the way, to try to avoid pronoun trouble. Find out about them. Ask them a question about what they do. Ask them a question about what they're involved in. Tell them, hey, you know, I have a friend who might be able to help you with that. We're cosmic bumper cars, right? You may be able to, in your getting out there, small or large, it doesn't have to be 0 to 60. It could be a cup of coffee. You may, in your day, think you're going out to do something for yourself, and you may end up doing something for somebody else. We call it pay it forward. That's why I do this show. I don't do this show to hear myself talk. It's very nice that you guys like the show and I enjoy doing it. And if I'm depressed, I admit I will play one of my shows back to help lift me up, and I pretend that I don't know the person I'm listening to. I go, oh, she's getting me excited. I'm going to get to work. But I will tell you this. Of all the shows that I've done for you guys, all of it has given me such a rich reward in helping me improve my craft, that you guys are helping me more than you could ever know. That's why I open my doors to you. That's why I tell you, send me your stuff. So if you know, if I'm candid with you and you don't like what you hear, it makes me feel bad, but I'm going to shake it off really quick. My hope is that you do too. You guys know you have access to me. You can pitch me ideas all the time. We have all these different threads going on. It's a lot of fun. I want to hear your comments about this show. If you have questions about what agents do, we write the deal. That's what we do. We're not mommies. We're not daddies. We're not the big piggy bank in the sky, although God knows I wish I was. But we really do have a sensitivity to what you're going through as a writer. I have a writer who is quite young and restless. I hip pocket him, and he's got a cute voice on the page, but he hasn't gotten it down yet. It's just not his thing. He lives in Vegas. And one of his scripts was really funny. It was kind of cute. It was all of the people that were involved in the script. Every single person was playing against type. So the jock was the brain. The brainy guy was the sex machine. Oh, it was hysterical. It was really firing. We could not get a buyer for this, but I encourage him, and my door stays open. So if I say to you, "Door's open," please understand in my minimalist way, white on the page, but narrative tug trumps white on the page. If I get into a very tiny little "door's open," that's the highest compliment I can pay you. It really is. I don't know if I can change your life. I don't know if I can get you a sale. I don't know if I can get you an option. I don't know if I can help you pick out a pair of shoes. But I do know this. I read well, and I get what we're doing. I understand how we're doing what we're doing. And I'm learning every day. I learned something today I didn't know. It was very cool. Jason, he's amazing. He's constantly telling me things. When I can get an hour alone with him, or with, you know, he and his wife and Ed, and the four of us can actually talk. It never ceases to amaze me how much I learn from you guys. You're all amazing pros. Craig Clyde has been through a very hard 6 or 7 months developing a picture for a very big producer. It's huge. He's on the vergitis right now. He's on the vergitis. So if you suffer from on the vergitis, we're going to post the definition for you. And you, I would love for you guys to do this. If you make comments on the show, which you usually do, and I love reading them, and they're so much fun, tell me what you think one of the symptoms for on the vergitis is, and also tell me about what you think the antidote is. Now, let's talk about Babs Heist. I need to love a hook. I got to love the script. We're going to do Babs Heist. This is an open-ended time frame for you guys. I need a heist script. Open-ended time frame. Brazilian mob is in development now, I think. That's an expensive shoot. Give me a low budget if possible, but A, I need open-ended time frame from you guys, so no rush. You have no deadline. B, you're going to submit the script to Simply Script as usual. You're going to use the prefix Babs Heist, BABZHEIST. Did I spell that right? I before E, except after, whatever. And Michael, fix it for me. So for the heist contest, I have to love the hook. I'm not going to read it. Hello, you better get me in. You better get me into scene in the first 5 minutes. I'm telling you. I'm just going to put it aside. Open-ended time frame. Submit to Simply Scripts. Use the prefix for Babs Heist. The lower the budget, the better. And think about this. Think about casting. No stars. Star maker for the right young talent. If you know a bencher that's warming the bench, or a C actor that you really like that you think has a future, mention it in your pitch to me. This is Babs for Babs Buzz, reminding you, if you suffer from on the vergitis, I have the antidote. Live your life, write, rewrite, and buy somebody you don't know a cup of coffee. Peace.